Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, and I told the producers, if Tony and Mike cannot do the show, there is only one person I'd want to host with. Mina Kimes, of course.
Oh, that is so sweet, Fred. It is Fred, right?
Oh, come on. Not nice.
Franz?
The day after Seattle loses, you're going to come at me
Fredo?
Like that? You're coming in
wow.
hot?
Wow, the lowest blow. Although I knew what I was signing up for when I agreed to the show on this day.
Look who it is. Madam Football back in the big chair.
Madam Football. Was I elected to that title?
That's your nickname. Welcome to PTI, everyone. On today's show, Russell Wilson's finger, Trey Lance's start, and Randy Arozarena's star turn. But we're going to begin with a developing story from the Wall Street Journal, which is reporting that Raiders coach John Gruden sent an email with racially insensitive language about NFL Players Association president DeMaurice Smith in July of 2011. In it, Gruden wrote that Smith had, quote, lips the size of Michelin tires. Gruden told the Journal he didn't recall writing the email, but apologized, saying, I'm really sorry. The NFL is reportedly investigating, and today Gruden met with his players to give them a heads up about this story, which the Wall Street Journal was reporting. Mina, what are your thoughts on everything that's happening right now?
Yeah, so Gruden also said, by way of his apology or his statement after this came out, that he uses the phrase rubber lips to talk about liars or people that he thinks are lying. That's a different phrase from the one he used, so the excuse just doesn't really sit right with me. Nothing about this sits right with me, frankly. And it reminds me of how this time last year, we were coming off a summer in which all NFL teams, including the Raiders, put out these statements in support of racial justice movements across the country, writing end racism on the end zones and the helmets. They still have them. Those are gestures, and this is reality. These are racial stereotypes, the types of which are deeply embedded in the minds of many people around the country. And so as far as what happens next with Gruden, punishment, suspension, whatever, I don't know. But I would like to hear a better apology from him, Frank, because the one he gave just didn't feel sufficient.
Yeah, and this story, you're going to be hearing a lot about this over the next coming days. All right, so Mina, earlier in the week, we heard from Urban Meyer the situation that he was involved in hanging out at the bar with another woman, and he said, you know, I need to regain the trust of the players in my locker room. Think about John Gruden now, and I know he met with the team today, but we're talking about a league that's predominantly of African-American players. And you talk about regaining the trust and faith and confidence of your players that you're coaching. This is not going to be easy for John Gruden. And I have, you know, to your point, I don't know, a fine, suspension, could he lose his job? I think everything is on the table right now where it stands.
And I hate the fact that a lot of those players are now going to be asked about this, not too dissimilarly from Meyer,
That's right. Is
just a shame. All right, let's move to the Rams going up to Seattle last night and beating the Seahawks 26-17. Not only did Seattle lose the game, but they may have lost Russell Wilson for an undetermined period of time with an injury to the middle finger of his throwing hand. Frank, what's the bigger story here? The Rams winning to move to 4-1? Or Wilson and the Seahawks dropping below 500 at 2-3.
Well, when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson who's been so durable, that's a huge story. And who knows, 10 days from now, maybe he plays. They play about three games over the next 37 days. So he's going to be back at some point. What would concern me about Seattle is last night Geno Smith came in the game, and it was like who he played for. I didn't even know that he was on Seattle. And he looked terrific. He marches him down the field. It's 16-14. You've been in that stadium a bunch. The crowd is going crazy. And in that moment, we know Seattle has been built on defense for a number of years. And what did Matthew Stafford do? Drove them right down the field, six plays, 73 yards, Sony Michel touchdown. To me, that told me everything I needed to know about Matthew Stafford, the Rams, and Seattle.
Yeah, Russell Wilson getting his finger turned into a shepherd's crook. Yeah. Really don't want to see that image again, by the way. I saw it about 200 times last night. That's not why Seattle lost. You're right, Frank. It's because of their defense, which has been a huge problem all year, frankly, for several seasons. But in this particular game, it felt like the middle of the field was wide open.
Robert
Some of that's
Woods.
On the personnel.
Yeah.
Some of it, yes, Robert Woods really had his way with it. Some of it also falls upon the coaching, frankly. I think the scheme is a little bit vanilla and outdated. They act like they still have the Legion of Boom. They do not. And that's why I actually think this is bigger for the Rams going forward, because I don't think the Seahawks are a contender with this defense, even if Russell Wilson, who Pete Carroll referred to as one of the great healers of our time, manages to hurry back. This defense is going to prohibit them from winning meaningful games in the future.
All right, I want to talk about one play in this game, because I know you love the punter of Seattle, Dixon.
Yes.
It wasn't that he had the presence of mind to kick it again. It wasn't that nobody knew what the rule was. Can we look at the way that he picked up this ball? That was an incredible play. That was one of the most athletic plays of the day, with
so
the ball
smooth.
Spinning like that.
100%. The double punt. Where credit's due.
That was really good. Now we all know the rule. All right, let's stay in the NFC West, Mina, and look ahead to Sunday's matchup between San Francisco and the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo was unable to practice today because of the calf injury he suffered on Sunday, and thus rookie Trey Lance will be in line to make his first career NFL start. Mina, he'll be the last of this year's rookie class of quarterbacks to start a game. What do you expect?
I expect chaos. I expect unevenness. But I expect that the Niners might have a better chance
really?
With Trey Lance than they would have with Jimmy Garoppolo.
So here's
the thing. No, I do believe it, and I'm going to explain to you why. Jimmy Garoppolo, the case for him was that he had a higher floor, lower ceiling than Trey Lance. But the guy we've seen so far this season, Frank, does not have a high floor. He was not pushing the ball downfield when healthy, and he was throwing the ball in harm's way as well. Now, when Lance came in relief last week against Seattle, he did not look ready as far as his passing ability, but he is still incredibly dynamic on the ground. And Arizona, in particular, that defense, they are worse at defending the run than the pass. Kyle Shanahan's the best run game designer in the NFL. I think this gives them a shot. I don't think it gives them a great chance, but chaos.
Yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan, we'll see. You know, he's an offensive genius. Everyone says it. We'll see. But this is a young player, and we've seen these rookie quarterbacks, whether it's Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, your first time out, it's tough. And, you know, you're going to say what you want about Jimmy Garoppolo. He is 26-10 as a starter.
Oh, don't. No.
That's what the numbers are. He's 26-10 as a starter. I'm going to give you some other numbers. Trey Lance last week, 9 of 18, 157 yards. He did run for 41 yards. What's going to help San Francisco is that they were game planning all week for Trey Lance to start.
Yes.
What's going to hurt them is they're going up against Arizona, which I'm pretty sure played well on Sunday against the Rams. Did they not? And Matthew Stafford, a little bit more experience, but yet you think Trey Lance is going to lead them to great things in his first start?
No.
You don't believe it. You honestly, there's no chance that you believe
that. It's all relative. It's not that I think Trey Lance is going to lead them to great things. It's more that I thought Jimmy Garoppolo was going to lead them to mediocrity. Because Frank, wins are not a quarterback stat, my friend.
Except when I'm using them, they are. Except when it helps my argument, then they are. Absolutely.
All right. Let's move to baseball, where Tampa's Randy Arozarena put on a show last night in the Rays 5-0 victory over the Red Sox. Randy hit a towering home run in the fifth, his 11th homer in 21 postseason games with the Rays. And then, in the seventh, he pulled off the first straight steal of home in a playoff game since some guy named Jackie Robinson did it in the 1955 World Series. Frank, the Red Sox came in riding the momentum of Tuesday's wildcard win over the Yankees. But after what you saw last night, what chance do you give Boston in this
series? We all know there's no such thing as momentum in baseball. And Chris Sale is pitching tonight for the Red Sox. And he was 3-1 in his last 9 appearances with Boston after coming back from that elbow injury. I want to get back to the steal of home, though.
Whew.
You know, the play before that, when Wander Franco hit the double, Arozarena, he rounded third. They talked about it on the telecast. He wanted to run through the stop sign. So he's standing on third. He's thinking, I am stealing home. And Kevin Cash said that last year during the playoffs. He kept telling them, let me steal home, let me steal home. And then he finally did it in a playoff game. I'll tell you what, he does spectacular things. You mentioned 11 home runs in 21 postseason games with the Rays. But last night, that was special.
He is the most electric athlete this side of Michael Dixon, the Seahawks punter.
As far as the actual question goes,
similarly to their pitcher tonight, Chris Sale, I don't think the Red Sox have a shot.
Really?
And the Rays showed last... It's because the Rays showed that they are the better, more complete team. They've been the better, more complete team in just about every way. Pitching, the bullpen, slugging, the defense. Frank, the Red Sox actually out-hit the Rays. The problem was it felt like the Rays were in the right position every time they did, which is how they were during the regular season as well. I think they're the best team in the American League, and I think they're going to win this series.
By the way, I was short on Chris Sale. He's 5-1 with a 3.16 ERA. in his last 9 games. That's a big-time pitcher. By the way, one thing about the Rays, how about this? So last year, the pitchers on their World Series roster, only 3 of them are still on this year's roster. It's amazing what they do. They have the best bullpen in baseball. They have starting pitchers that nobody's ever heard of, and they won 100 games, and they're already up 1 game on the Red Sox. Incredible. All right, let's take a break. But coming up, the Dodgers and the Giants start an epic series tonight. Who should be favored?
And how should the people of London feel about having to witness Jets versus Falcons on Sunday?
I'm holding you to that Trey Lance prediction of yours.
Prediction.
First time out. 26-10 for Garoppolo. Write it down. It's a good stat. You could use it on one of those shows you're on.
You're trolling me. You're actually trolling me with this.
Pardon the interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
All right, it's time for Toss Up, the producer. He gives us 2 options over the loudspeaker, and I pretend like I give the right answer each time and claim victory at the end. It's very easy. All right, what do we got first?
Toss Up, who do you favor in their upcoming series? The 106-win Dodgers or the 107-win Giants?
Never has there been a playoff series with 2 teams that have won as many combined as 213 games. It's incredible. I give the Dodgers, the Giants, a lot of credit. You know their over-under going into the season on wins was 75.5? They won 107 games. But the Dodgers, to me, with the pitching, Max Scherzer is going to pitch game 3. Their bullpen is terrific. I get it. They don't have Max Muncy, but they still have Corey Seager, Trey Turner. Bellinger had a big walk, and then he stole second in that wild card game. The Dodgers will somehow find a way to win.
I am disappointed to say I agree with you there, Frank.
Thank you.
This is a close one. It's so close, and I've gone back and forth a bunch of times. But I'm going with the Dodgers for many of the reasons you just outlined. Walker Buehler is pitching in game 1. And while he did struggle in his last start against the Giants, he absolutely mowed them down in his previous 5 starts with a 0.79 ERA. And if he comes away with the win, home field advantage goes out the window. I just think the Dodgers' pen is too good, and it feels like they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, a couple of things to keep in mind. Giants won the season series 10-9, and it's the first time these franchises have ever met in the playoffs. The wild card came in 1995, so they had opportunities. First time they've ever played in the playoffs. All right, what do we got next?
Toss up, which lousy team should the London fans back on Sunday?
That's not
the Jets
nice.
Or the Falcons?
Okay, I'll field this one first. I think it was in 1946 when Winston Churchill coined the term special relationship to describe the alliance between America and the UK. After this game, that might be over. Like, the alliance is probably going to end because they're going to be so angry with us for bringing them Jets-Falcons. Now, as far as who Londoners should root for or be excited about, I'll go Jets because at least they're a young, rebuilding team. The defense has been surprisingly feisty. And Zach Wilson finally seems to be showing something.
Yeah, you're quoting Winston Churchill. I'll quote Tommy from the West End of London. This is absolute rubbish. That's what they're going to be saying, because there's no Premier League this weekend. And they love American football, especially in London. They're playing in Tottenham Stadium, but they're going to like the Jets. I'm going to tell you why, and you could relate to this. Because when you're in Hollywood trying to avoid the paparazzi, you put on your sunglasses and you wear the Yankee cap. Everyone in London wears a Yankee cap. It's got the NY on it. And the Jets and the Yankees, as we know over here, have nothing in common. But people in London are going to be rooting for the New York Jets. Mark my words on that.
Can I just say, I don't think anyone expected of the two of us for me to be the one quoting Churchill on this show.
I said Tommy in the East End of London. He's going to say absolute rubbish. All right, what do we got next?
Toss up last one. They play on Sunday. Bigger threat in the AFC, the 3-1 Browns or the 3-1 Chargers?
All right, Mina, I know you're going to be all over this. I tell you what, with the Chargers, you go into Kansas City, and I know the end of that game was a little wacky and they probably got a little lucky, but they beat Kansas City in Kansas City. And I love what they've done in Cleveland, but there's still some things that have to be sorted out. The Chargers are the more lethal team, especially in the division that they play.
Once again, we agree. The Chargers look like one of the more balanced teams in the NFL, offensively and defensively, with Joey Bosa and Derwin James back. Brandon Staley's doing a great job with that unit. And as far as the Browns go, the defense has been really good. The front seven in particular has been pressuring quarterbacks at an extremely high rate. But Baker Mayfield just doesn't look like himself. He's been uncharacteristically inaccurate and struggled throwing the ball deep. So this is an important game for me, because for the Browns going forward, for me to take them seriously as contenders, I need to see more out of Mayfield in particular.
Well, I was going to ask you about him. How much do you think is that left shoulder injury that we heard about this week?
Yeah, I think it's definitely some of it. They're saying it's not, but when you watch him, again, Frank, he looks hesitant. Yeah. He's reluctant to take those throws. I would actually hope it is the shoulder, frankly, because that suggests it's going to get better.
That's a great point, and that's it. But guess what? I win. So let's take one last break, but still to come, bad news on the injury front for Christian McCaffrey.
And Frank predicts whether fifth-ranked Cincinnati will suffer a letdown tonight after last Saturday's big win at Notre Dame.
God forbid we could put Cincinnati in the top four and get them in that college football playoff.
Fingers crossed.
I want them in there. The little guy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
All right, everyone, let's get happy. Happy 28th birthday tomorrow. George Kittle, the San Francisco 49ers tight end, is considered, along with the Chiefs' Travis Kelce, as the best at their position. A former fifth-round pick out of Iowa, Kittle is a two-time Pro Bowler who became the first tight end to lead the league in yards after catch with 870, meaning you're big on analytics, so I know you like that. One of his signature moments was this play against the Saints in Week 14 in 2019. Remember this? On a 4th-and-2, Kittle caught this pass and ran 39 yards while being face-masked by Marcus Williams and carrying two other defenders. That play set up the game-winning field goal.
I'm actually shocked to hear that he's 28. I thought he was younger. He certainly plays like he's younger, the way he still breaks tackles. I'll say a couple things. I would put Darren Waller in that conversation now for the top three, to undermine George Kittle on his birthday. And I bet they wish he could play on Sunday. He is doubtful. Yeah. Trey Lance could really use him. He is so reliable because of all the gifts you described.
I knew you weren't going to agree with me. Happy anniversary, Mariners, on this day. You remember this, young Mina Kimes? 26 years ago, with Seattle and the Yankees tied at 5 in the 11th inning, of their deciding Game 5 of the ALDS. Edgar Martinez hit a sharp liner down the left field line, driving in Ken Griffey Jr. from first base to advance to the American League Championship Series. It really was a thrilling finish to a great series. That hit not only ended Don Mattingly's career, but many feel that that moment alone saved baseball in Seattle. Now, as for the Yankees, they only went on to win four of the next five World Series. And since I like Mina, and contrary to popular belief, I'm not your typical obnoxious New Yorker, I won't mention that the Mariners' current postseason drought is the longest in major professional sports. I'm just not going to do it.
I'm just going to focus on the positive here, which is this is one of my greatest memories as a sports fan. I was 10 years old when it happened. I remember the double like it was yesterday. Iconic call. Frank, I think you were probably like 40 around
then. I'm doing the math.
Listen, it's one of the most important moments in Seattle sports history, as you said. A rare,
it really was.
Good memory right now for the Mariners. But, you know, the Mariners are looking feisty. Yeah. I'll see you in the 2024 World Series, Frank.
Junior chugging around the bases. Happy trails to Jamaica. The Reggae Boys were no match for Ricardo Pepi, the 18-year-old striker from El Paso, who scored two second-half goals as the United States national team defeated Jamaica 2-0 in World Cup qualifying. Now, because of his Mexican-American heritage, Pepe had the option to play for Mexico, but in August, he chose the United States. Then in September, what did he do? He scored the game winner against Honduras in his national team debut. That's two games, three goals for a country that has been searching for a consistent goal scorer since, well, forever. Next up for the U.S. is a date in Panama on Sunday night.
Gosh, it feels like only yesterday that all American soccer fans were panicking because of those tie games. And what an incredible showing for not just Pepe, but all the young players on this team. It feels like for the first time in a very long time, not only can the American men's team contend now, but they're going to be good for a really long time, Frank.
Yeah, it was an impressive performance. I get it. Jamaica isn't France. It's not Belgium. It's not Italy. It was still a good win. Pulisic didn't play. You didn't have Gio Reyna playing. And let's give a little credit to the guy that went to Fairfield University, Matt Turner, the goalkeeper. He has done really, really, really well. All right. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Christian McCaffrey. He's been downgraded to doubtful for Sunday's game against the Eagles. Mina, can they win without him?
I think they can, particularly because of their defense. His front seven has been really good, coached by Phil Snow. I know they struggled against the Cowboys, but everybody's going to struggle against the Cowboys. Meanwhile, the Eagles have been too inconsistent on both sides of the ball. Give me Carolina, even without McCaffrey. All right, Temple at number five. Cincinnati is tonight. Are you smelling a letdown for the Bearcats?
Are you cray-cray? How about my guy, Desmond Ridder, the quarterback? I want to hear him in the Heisman Trophy voting, or the Heisman Trophy race, I should say. I want to see Cincinnati, which went on the road at Notre Dame and won. I want to see them in the college football playoff. They don't really have any tough opponents from here on out. All right, Bills at Chiefs on Sunday night. Which way are you leaning?
Chiefs, and I can't explain it. The Bills are the more balanced team. They actually have a functional defense, but I just won't bet against Patrick Mahomes. And for all of the concerns about the Chiefs and the turnovers, Mahomes has been playing some of the best football of his career lately. So give me the Chiefs and put some respect on Patrick Mahomes' name. The Red River Rivalry on Saturday, number 6, Oklahoma, and number 21, Texas. Who are you rooting for?
Texas, because it's going to help my Cincinnati Bearcats. All right, last one. WNBA Game 5 tonight, Mercury at Aces. Who will move on to face the Sky in the finals?
I'm going with Las Vegas here. I just think the Mercury are too banged up, losing Kia Nurse, Sophie Cunningham, Taurasi is hurt as well. Just doesn't feel like it's
good. Brittany Griner has been very good, though. She's been an absolute force. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mina Kimes. Have a great weekend. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.